Congress certainly signaled that they were not happy about the department's proposals, as we saw in the posture hearings leading up to the annual markup of the Defense Authorization Act. I mean, these are things like reforming the TRICARE system to consolidate it, eliminating some of the options that a lot of military retirees and other beneficiaries have come to rely on, reducing the amount that service members get in their paychecks for their housing allowances, reducing subsidies to the commissary. They've said no to basically all those things so far, along with some changes to, force structure. DOD thinks that if sequestration stays in place beyond 2016, which it still doesn't know if it will or not, it's going to have to make some critical decisions, like laying up the USS George Washington, its 11th aircraft carrier, and deciding not to refuel it and instead retiring it. But again, that's something that the House Armed Services Committee's Subcommittee on Sea Power and Projection Forces decided it could not allow to happen. So instead it says, okay, Office of Secretary of Defense, you will get only 50% of your requested funding until you obligate $700 million to refuel the George Washington. So they're rejecting most of what DOD has requested so far in terms of its cost savings.
They've already shot down another round of BRAC, which right. all the branches of the military have been pushing for.
Right.
It doesn't seem like there is much room anywhere. And what's starting to frustrate defense budget experts, both inside and outside the building, from what I understand, Jared, is at some point somebody's going to have to decide what it is okay to cut, and nobody seems to be willing to go there yet.
That's right. Adam Smith, who's the ranking Democrat on the House Armed Services Committee, has an interesting perspective on this. He freely admits that both Republicans and Democrats on that committee, all of whom are obviously pretty parochial about defense projects, are still in that parochial mode, and no one's come to grips that sequestration has been here for the last 3 years, and it hasn't really changed much in a material fashion, and it's probably not going away. His fear, I think it's fair to sum it up this way, and he spoke to us at a defense forum on Capitol Hill yesterday. His fear is that by putting off these individual cuts, these very same people on Capitol Hill who care most about defense programs are making things much worse for DOD by refusing to recognize the inevitable, by refusing to come together and figure out the way to construct, a defense program that fits within those budget caps. Let me just play about a minute of tape from him yesterday that I think summarizes that view pretty well.
Now, what we're doing right now is we're battling over the $2015 dollars. We're trying to find a little bit of money here, a little bit of money there in order to get us through 2015. But the big problem here is the bow wave problem. And this is before you even get to sequestration. The A-10, for instance, it's, I think I saw, if we can find $400 million, we can save the A-10. That's a daunting challenge in this budget environment. But it's also not realistic, because if we save the A-10 this year, over the course of 5 years, the cost is $3.5 billion. Where are we going to find the other $3.1 over the course of the 4 years? We've just created a bow wave. Same is true with the personnel costs, the costs to reduce pay raises and do all those other things I mentioned for FY15 are relatively small, but it's $2 billion over 5 years. So what do we do in FY16, even if sequestration doesn't happen, but especially if it does? So the big problem we have right now is we are avoiding all of these difficult decisions, and we are simply scrambling to get through the day. I mean, the analogy that always occurs to me is, we're painting ourselves into a corner, and we're going to run out of floor space at some point.
So there it is. I mean, he clearly takes the view that there's really no easy way out of sequestration, since no one's posed a plausible alternative at this point, and it's time to get down to brass tacks and figure out how we're going to live within these buckets of spending caps that we've been given.
What he really gets at there, too, with that bow wave analogy, is the idea that nobody seems to be thinking about the fact that with or without sequestration, the sequestration concept is baked into the way that Congress overall, more broadly, expects to look at the Defense Department budget. At least that's the evidence that we have to work from now. And so while the budget this year is 500 and some billion, we don't have any reason to believe that it's going to get a lot bigger next year.
It's not going up. That's right.
Right. That's right. And so if the sequestration style numbers hold, it's going to go down again next year, and it's going to go down the year after that. And that doesn't seem to be what anybody really wants to face, at least when it comes to the NDAA so far, it seems to me.
That's right. And it's worth pointing out, too, I mean, we should say that this is just the first round in figuring out what the defense budget's actually going to be for the next year. I mean, these are just subcommittee votes. The House Armed Services Committee is going to vote in full on what it's going to authorize for the next year. But again, that's just the authorization process. It's not the appropriations process. There's still some possibility. I think you and I would both agree that the appropriators will probably not come to an agreement on raising DOD spending caps. But for now, this is what we have to work with. And as you said, Francis, regardless of if they change sequestration in some marginal ways or not, the basic parameters around what DOD is going to have to spend over the next few years probably are not going to go up or down very much from what we know right now.
What do we know about the status of the National Defense Authorization Act, Jared, and what we can expect to see in the coming days and weeks?
Well, as I said, next week, the full markup happens before the House Armed Services Committee. We are not going to see, as you mentioned before, we're not going to see them authorize another round of BRAC. Smith, who you just heard from a second ago, says he will propose that on the House floor. He's fully expecting to get crushed in that vote, but he thinks it's important to make that at least one of the issues that members have to take a vote on. Then we also have to see the Senate go through the same process that history has shown will happen later on in the year, and it will happen in a more secretive fashion. They do that behind closed doors, unlike the House Armed Services Committee, who I have to give credit to for doing this in a public, transparent way. But we're a long way from getting to the end of this process, so DOD still perhaps has some glimmers of hope to do some of the things that it wants to do.
I watched for the first time in a long time some of the subcommittee markups this week, and it didn't take me nearly as long as it used to, because a lot of them were 5-10 minute deals where the chairman of the subcommittee would say, essentially, I'm paraphrasing, of course, here's the deal. Any amendments? No amendments? Let's vote.
There were six subcommittee markups this week, and there were two amendments between all of them. The full committee will be different. There are usually many, many, many amendments offered and voted on. It's usually an all-day and all-night process, so that's where most of the action happens.
But I just didn't recall that the subcommittee marks were pretty much in and out, as so many of them were.
I agree. They were particularly short this year. No, really no amendments.